Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 141 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone. So tonight is a very special night for us. Our guest deserves all the possible accolades from the Kiss Army. With over 200 Kiss shows in his credentials, Nicola was the brain and hands behind one of the finest Kiss fanzines in the world, Strike. He is also the founder of the Kiss Army International. Nico has organized and participated in numerous Kiss conventions worldwide with exceptional guests as Ace, Peter, Eric Singer, Bruce, and Vinnie. You still want more? His photos were used by Kiss for the booklet of Alive 3 and the video Kiss Confidential. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our dear friend, Nicola Ciccarone. Nico, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hello, everybody.
Come stai, bello?
Pretty good. Non c'è male.
Tutto a posto.
So, Nico, it's so great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Now, although this is an interview episode, I want to ask an obvious question that we often ask during our fan profiles. How and when did you get into KISS?
Oh, okay. Well, when it was, let's say, the winter of 1980, which is a pity because KISS just played a few months before in Rome for the only time they played in Rome. So I missed out by this little. And that's when, because probably after the show, everybody was excited. I was hearing a lot of people talking about it. It got me curious and, you know, hooked me up then. And how did I get it to KISS? Well, basically, because I had friends around who liked KISS. And then there was the year that that winter was the starting of school, 1980. I started the high school, and so I had to meet new people. And so when I first entered the classroom with all new friends, new faces, I saw one with a KISS bag, and was a girl. And I said, well, you know, now I got a subject that I can talk about and start breaking the ice. And so, she was way more into KISS than I was. Actually, I wasn't into KISS that much. I just knew about it from friends. And so we started talking. She started copying me tapes of like Live, you know, and other albums. And so little by little, I got to listen to them and got more, into the band. So that was the start.
Besides the girl, what did you find so special about the band? Was it more the makeup, more the music?
Well, obviously, I was already into music. I used to go see shows, not that much at that time, but I used to always have a video music, a music channel, listen to records. I used to like all the stage lights and shows in general. Mm-hmm. So then, obviously, KISS were masters on that. And so their look, their shows was the main thing, I must admit. Music was good. At the time, I was Made for Loving You in Europe, very famous in Italy. We had always on TV the videos of Sure Know Something, I Was Made for Loving You, repeating all the time. And so basically, I liked those songs, and I liked Dynasty, but, you know, because I wasn't too much into rock or hard rock. Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, when I started listening to Alive, I was like, oh, that's a bit too hard for me. And, you know, I didn't like it too much. But then I keep listening other things, and then I liked. So it was mostly because of the look and the show and the music. I started to get to appreciate it with time. So.
Okay. So, you know, Nico, your story as a KISS fan is so rich that I don't even know where to start. So what was the first thing that you did or that you created to try to express your fandom? So was it founding the KISS Army International? How did you express your love for the band? What did you do?
Well, basically, as soon as I started falling in love with the band, I started collecting everything that I could. At the time, there was not much stuff in Rome to buy. And so I started writing people, putting advertisements in Kerrang or other international magazines. So from those magazines, you would get PayPals all over Europe and start trading newspaper magazines articles from Italy, given to Sweden or England or France, and start trading. And I really liked the collecting because I could see more photos, because at the time there was no internet, obviously. And the only way you could see a new photo of the band is to buy a new article, books. There was no books around at the time, at least in Italy. So it was always in magazines and obviously besides the official album, but there wasn't much anyway. So then the idea of starting the fan club was more than any other thing. Was to be able to get in touch with as many KISS fans as possible. So that was my initial idea, was let's start a fan club so everybody who loves KISS will join the fan club, and I will have more people so I could trade more stuff and I could see more photos, I could have more things. At the time, also when I started, there was already other fan clubs. There was KISS Explorer Army from Ron Askis, which rest in peace, he passed away. I heard not too long ago, and he had the best fan club magazine in Europe. Then there was Firehouse Magazine in Canada, LF Magazine in Japan. And so as soon as I knew that there was these things, I started joining them. So I could get more stuff because the stuff from the fan club were different from the stuff from the magazine, where things article more in depth, specifically with all the minutiae for the diehards that you will never find in a normal magazine who talks about the band maybe when a new album is out or a new tour is out and just saying basic things. So the fan club were the best source of information. So then I thought, oh, I can, in Italy there is no fan club, so I can start a fan club. Why not? I must admit, I decided at the beginning I can copy from left, right, and center, get all the photos from that magazine, translate the article, not from Japanese, because from English, from the Firehouse Magazine and Ron Askis, I could. So I said, you know, I can put together something that it's the best I found in a certain period of time, the best I found that to put in my magazine. So Italian, they maybe doesn't even know English, because at the time, not many people knew English that well, or not at all. So then I say I can make in Italian, so people can read things that they would not be able to do other ways. And so I started the fan club. That was the reason. There was no other reason, no higher ideas like I can meet the band or I can go to a tour, you know. Just if I could see a show. In fact, I started the fan club on the day of my first KISS show in Lausanne, in Switzerland. Basically, the 1st of November 1984. And so I said, I'm going to this concert. I missed out on the Lick It Up tour the year before. Friends of mine from Rome went, and I was so jealous that they went and I couldn't. I was too young. So then I animalized the next year. I said, I don't care. I just go. It doesn't matter. I have to go. So I went there. I said, Italians, they didn't play in Italy in that tour. So Italians would only go to Switzerland like I did, because it was the show at the border between
It was
Switzerland and
closer,
Italy.
right?
So
Yeah,
it was close. So everybody would go from Milan, Turin, all the north of Italy, where basically there are all the heavy metal friends even today, mostly are in the north. So then I said, all the Italians will be there. I can start there. I can spread some advertisements, some little flyer. I had some little like business cards, similar, like there were photocopies cut in eight part or something like that, and written announcing the fan club. I said, if anybody like this and is willing to go from his city to Switzerland to see them, then he probably will want to join the fan club. And that's what happens. In fact, I started then, but as I said, the first magazine was just like a patch up of everything else I could find, which is still at the time was pretty interesting and cool for an Italian, because those things that wasn't that easy to find, even if
Exactly. Yeah.
not
Yeah.
great things, but still were the best
Yeah.
things and were better than nothing, let's say.
Absolutely. So what are some of your most memorable moments running the fan club? Not at the beginning maybe, because it must have been tough, but later on. So if you have to pick, let's say, one or two key moments in your life, saying, well, it was so great to have this fan club, so I'm glad that I did it. What would those be?
Well, first, basically, it is only within 1 year. The year was 1988. And in that year, in March, we had Ace Frehley coming to London. And then in the summer, there was Kiss for the whole tour in Europe for Crazy Nights. So in that year, there was a major change in the fan club, because finally, I could meet my gods, my idols, and because I already had the fan club for few years, the band already knew me because I was sending the Strike magazine there, even if it wasn't that great, but still. And so, so that was my key moment, because also in that year, I loaded my backpack with all the Strike magazines. Okay, first I went to London and I was able to meet Ace, because through Italian magazine, they told me there is a our journalist who's going to interview Ace. If you want, you can stay with him. And so I said, oh yeah, please, please, even if I just stay in a corner of the room, for me it would be fantastic. So that's when I met Ace. And then I don't know how, but I was be able to get the schedule of what he was doing. So I was everywhere he was: sign session, interview, radio interview, hotel. I figured out where he was. Probably Eddie Trunk helped me out there, because he was doing managing Ace for that tour, and he was very nice. And so I got all the information. I was following Ace everywhere he was. And so then he put me even in the special thanks of the album that came after that. So I was in heaven. So then after that, I made a very good magazine this time, finally, with all the original material, my photos, because I was in front row of that show, Ace, my stories, and I could print a really good magazine. And it was the second one that I actually printed on a printing place. Before, it was only photocopies. But it was still in black and white, even the cover, the first two issues. But then when I went to Europe for a Kiss tour, I had this magazine about Ace in Europe. It was mostly about that tour, that concert. But it was all original, it was cool stuff. And so I loaded my backpack with all those magazines and advertisements, flyers, and things like that. And so I followed the whole tour of Europe. I only missed five shows out of, I seen 18 shows out of 23. I only missed Reykjavik, Donington, dates that were strange, spot on here and there. But the main tour, I followed all of it. And so basically, I would go early. I didn't. I had the Kiss were so nice to give me passes and tickets for every show, but they were not live minutes. They were just passes, meaning that I could go there right after the show. or pre-show, which means just before they would go on stage. So basically in the afternoon, I had nothing to do. I couldn't get in backstage. So I was talking to all the fans who were coming to the show early, meaning also that they were the diehards who go early to get a better spot in the venue.
Uh-huh.
And I would introduce myself and show my magazine. So after a tour of all that, I was selling my magazine too, so I could also pay my, because I that tour cost me probably all up $500 for to see 18 shows, plus the magazine I would sell. So because I bought an Interrail, like at the time there was a 1 month pass on the train, and so that cost me probably 300, and with that I could travel all over Europe for 1 month, and it was exactly the month of the Kiss tour. And then I was sleeping in youth hostel with the money I could make with the sale of the strike. I would sell 5 copies every show, pretty much, and be enough, having enough to sleep and
have
eat.
To pay your bills. That's good.
It was I was never rich. I still am not rich. I'm still surviving, but I like the idea.
Of
I like
course.
The struggle way of life. and so basically I followed the tour and I was always every time at the hotel trying to meet the band, and sometimes they would go down and have a chat, and basically that year was for me the magic year, because I became friends of the band. I saw so many shows, I took photos, so I had so much original material for myself. I had stories from the entire tour that I followed, basically, and I started getting a lot of members.
So, yeah. Nico, your magazine, Kiss Strike, is very well recognized among Kiss fans around the world. And as you mentioned earlier, there were other fanzines at the time internationally. So what made Kiss Strike unique from the other fanzines out there at the time?
Me.
There you go.
No, basically, unfortunately, or fortunately for everybody else, and unfortunately for myself, I'm a perfectionist and I'm a workaholic. That means that I never rest, I never relax, but the other get the fruits of my being. So I always try to be the best. I always try to do the things the way they're supposed to do. I have a lot of pride of releasing something that I did. The Strike was the best magazine just because I wanted, as I was doing the magazine, like everybody, then I wanted to do the best magazine. So I would always notice what is the best quality of each magazine, what are the best photographer who would put the best photos in each magazine. I would contact them. And I will always try to, something cool from one magazine, I will copy. But not that, you know, I will credit and everything. I can say exactly everything that I did. And I always put the credit, the courtesy from this magazine,
right,
from this other magazine. I never try to say, oh, this is because I'm cool. It's only me. No, no. But I would kind of like put together the best from the best. You know, like a magazine would have like a color cover. I'd say, well, I gotta have a color cover too. One magazine would put an article on merchandise that I thought it was a cool idea. I would put an article on merchandise or something that I thought it was cool. I would also start to do it in Strike.
Mm-hmm.
So Strike was the best of what I thought it was the best. So,
Okay.
You know.
Hey Nico, we mentioned in the opening that you've been to, I don't know if more or 200 shows or something like that in many different parts of the world. You mentioned before that your first one was back in 84 for the Animal Eyes tour. I'm going to ask you about your first, and then I'm going to ask you about your last show at Madison. So so for the first one, what are your memories? What do you remember about that show?
About the show, I remember a few things. First, that I, you know, lined up in the morning. I put the Gene Simmons makeup while I was on queue. Then I tried to sneak in video camera, you know, the filming camera, 8 millimeter photo camera. I tried to bring all my father's gear, amateur gear, but still I tried to bring it with me. Then they stopped me, and it was a mess. It was the great about the show. I remember a lot Eric Carr.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I remember that. I my favorite instrument is the drums in general, but I remember that I really was looking, paying attention a lot to him. I don't know why, because I don't know, but it seems more mature and adult that he looked through the magazine. From a magazine, look where a young kid who's in a new band. There, he looked like a professional, grown man. And I was curious. It just intrigued me, that thing, that he looked different from what I expected. Then, and obviously my favorite member, you know, people knows me, they know it's Gene and Ace are the two of my favorite members. Okay, and so then I remember that I also went to the merchandise booth at the first show, and I wanted everything. I saw, like, you know, like a kid in a candy store. I was like, oh, I want to have that, I want that, I want that. And, you know, so when I paid, I didn't realize that I gave her all the money, the girl who was giving me the merchandise. And after the show, I realized I didn't have money to return, go back home in Italy. And I was in Switzerland.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I got into, you know, I was a teenager, I was a kid, and I didn't have a clue. And they had different money with the French francs. For me, it was all, you know, like Peter Criss says, Monopoly money.
Right.
and basically, I didn't realize that at one point, for whatever I got, I had to give her all the money. I said, oh, whatever, you know, I want the stuff.
How did you get back?
You know, I always find ways. I'm Italian. I got a million ways to do things. Well, in that particular case, I went outside the show, and as I start asking for a ride to the buses. So somebody from a bus says, hey, you might have a spare seat in the bus. I need to get somewhere in Italy. And so I got a seat on a bus to Milan, obviously for free, because they were all Kiss fans, and, you know, they understood my situation. So, you know, I jumped on that, and then I got the train from Milan to Rome for free. But you know, when I got the guy who asked me for a ticket, I don't know, maybe I got a fine or something, or I got away with it. One way or another, I go back home. That's
amazing. Right. You got it. You made it. You made it.
So those are the things I remember from
beautiful.
The show. And I stayed the whole day to stay in front row, and all of a sudden I was just back because of the stop me for the camera gear. Because I ran to the merchandise. I was an idiot. I'm an idiot sometimes. But I was an idiot because I spent the whole day there and I didn't run to the front row right away. Just because I, yeah, so see, that's one of my things. I always want to do more
everything
things that I can actually
that's
end.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Then I took my, you know, I wanted to be front row, then I wanted to film, I wanted to take photos. You know, obviously nowadays I can understand it was pretty much impossible in Switzerland. Plus,
right.
In Italy maybe you could get away, but in Switzerland it would be
it's not the same.
Worse than in Germany. So then I, you know, I started with wanting to do so many things, and I ended up just watching the show. Which was
there you go. There you go.
Anyway, that's a memory from the first one.
Yes. There you go. So now, if we fast forward to December, you know, last year, we had the great chance to meet at the Hard Rock Cafe, you know, for the Kiss Army Spain party, where I met you and your
yes.
beautiful son too.
Thank you. That was great.
So, what do you think about the last shows at Madison Square Garden?
I wanted to see six shows. I ended up seeing five because Paul was sick, as we all know. And in those shows, so three shows before the Garden, those shows were great. I got Laminate. I got to see the sound checks. I even meet them at the hotel and say hi. I got the fantastic present of having the photo with the band on the Last Chance for Anybody, which was in Baltimore. Thank you, Frank. Poor Frank, he gave me the bracelet because he got an extra one. And he didn't get it. I didn't ask for a photo. I have many. I didn't even really ask for. I didn't really mean to have a photo. I don't want to push too much. I had enough and I didn't ask for. But Frank got an extra one. He said, oh, if you want. I said, oh, thank you. Thank you. It'd be great.
That's actually awesome.
It's a good way to say goodbye because in New York, it'd be too crazy. I won't be able to do anything. So then, but then Frank didn't want to push too much. And I sneaked in a line that I wasn't supposed to be. So I got the photo done and he wanted to be nice and precise and he didn't get the photo. So I'm sorry for Frank, but thank you, Frank. You made another little dream come true for me. So anyway, I just said those things because it was great. It was going one of the best tours. Everything was getting fantastic. All the rides with the best friends, Kevin, you know, Russell, Frank. I had a ball. I had the best three shows, some of the best three shows time that I had with all my friends. And then New York. So for the last shows, like everybody else, I had great expectations because also in Baltimore, I saw like the whole venue filled up with the smoke up over the heads of people in the sound check. No, in the sound, just before the show, between the sound check and the show.
Yeah.
So I thought they were trying new things for the final shows. So I say, oh, that is going to be amazing. This effect on, you know, I thought it was going to be full of surprises, the last show. And at the end, basically, you know, what we had was just the razors.
The same.
When he brought the guitar and a lot of smoke, but not as much as I saw in Baltimore. In Baltimore, the whole venue was covered that you couldn't see one head of people who was underneath.
Oh,
was,
really?
I got a picture of it, luckily, because I took a picture and I ran away because I say I don't want to spoil all the surprises. That took me by surprise. I saw the thing and I said, no, I don't want to see anything. I want to wait for the surprise at the end. So, but I say I'd like to take a photo. This is too cool. And I took a photo, which I'm glad I did because only one I took. And you could see the venue so over full with smoke, with fog. And then anyway, New York wasn't that much. It was just a normal show. And it was a big disappointment because, you know, you want to expect, you know, you want to wait to see some mention, ex-members, people who were key people for making them reach their level, managers, you know,
past members, yeah,
poker, yeah. Designer, roadies, they have millions of people they could thank. And you can even do it like in a movie, at the end of the movie, like a million names scrolling down,
yeah.
Which probably wouldn't be fair, but still at least better than nothing. But there were many ways to do it. They had screens in the background of the screen. In any song, you could put a person, a story, something, a sentence, something that would just to celebrate. It's, I mean, it's been 15 years. Why would you do the same show as you did for the three past year? Not even just the last. It's with the COVID in between, this tour lasts forever.
Yeah.
So it's the same show. We've seen it even if you don't travel, you probably, if you live in New York, you've seen this show probably 3-4 times,
yeah,
in years. So it's the same thing. Why don't you make a special thing?
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, big disappointment that way. In fact, I only from the last show, the only thing that I think that I remember as a great thing, and it was really great, it was one that, you know, hardly see something like that. The crowd.
Okay.
The crowd was amazing. Like, I was behind because I could this time I had to pay for a ticket. I couldn't afford the closer tickets. The first day I was a little closer, the first of the two nights, and then I move a little back. I wanted to see from behind. I wanted to have a wide look because I saw Baltimore, Chicago, front row or nearby the stage. Because I said the last shows, I want to see the whole atmosphere, the people. I can see their faces on the screen, but I really want to see the big effort if
The
they do
stage and
something. I was
everything.
expecting so. And I must admit, I was like looking at people even at the farthest row on the low, farther away place. Everybody was standing and dancing like if they were in the front row. So that is an amazing memories that I have with all those people. Of course, the racers, that was cool at the end. It was with all the smoke. That was a cool part. That was one of the things I was expecting to see because that was really cool as an ending. And you put like 5 or 10 of those things in a show, and that would have made a huge difference.
And then we were all surprised with the avatars after the smoke.
That's even worse, but I
I
wanted to leave it.
know, I know. You wanted to end it
Yeah.
there. I know, I know.
At that show, I was hit by a few trucks, not even just one. I even cried when I tried at the beginning. It was the same show, nothing happened, but the people was really cool. And I was like, well, nothing is happening. They're not making any special to make it emotional for anybody. But it doesn't feel that good. Then at one point, when Gene spit fire, then he got me, and
Oh yeah, that's when you
I
broke.
started crying like a baby.
Oh yeah.
My son was there with me because my son joined me from Rome. He flew in just for the New York shows, and so he was with me. And sometimes at one point, some of those videos would come. My son was having fun filming me, more than that. And basically, I cried all through when Paul just flew closer to me. I was close where the stage of Paul was 4 hours
Okay,
later.
the stage V.
And so then I, so probably two, three songs. It was very emotional, even though they didn't do much to help it. But then the Avatar, there's two more because I just for now I just been talked about the first track. There there's two more tracks to go. No, anyway, the second track was the Avatar. Come on, it's like
Come on.
That is not the way to end a career. It's like we've been always used to go through different lineups because okay, one way or another, Peter have to leave, Ace have to leave, all the other members have to leave, new makeup, no makeup, whatever it is, we always got used to see a different way of Kiss, a different shape, a different member, different things. And we, one way or another, we got away with it and we accepted it with more or less happiness. But replacing Kiss with puppets, with cartoons, it's like,
Puppets.
I can't. I mean, Kiss has always been for all the Kiss fans a live experience.
I love show.
I mean, when it was a bad thing, you watch Kiss, the real human beings, on a video, which is better than nothing, but you still see some human doing show. We all like the Marvel comics and all the other things, but a nice little thing that they do. I mean, a comic replacing a band like them, I don't know. If you want to give that news to people, don't give it that day. Give it a little by little. Maybe start talking about, oh, have you seen how much money is making? Maybe we can do something. But you see, later on in interviews, little by little, we introduce this big pill too hard to digest. You put it as a final show, like to say, hey, I got a good surprise for you. That's not a nice surprise. And I didn't hear anybody happy with that surprise. I don't know what went through their mind if they thought that there was going to be something cool and very well accepted. I don't think so. I don't think everybody, maybe, I don't know, if you got people around who just want to be nice with you, say, do you think it's going to be cool? People, oh, yeah, cool, it's going to be cool. But I don't
Yeah,
know.
not
Anyway,
really.
so that was really bad. And on top of that, I mean, I love Eric, is probably my closest friend as a member. I had a great time with Eric. It's like a friend, even though for many years I missed the shows because of my son and I didn't follow many tours. But I always felt Eric was, my pal in the band. And Tommy, I saw him even before he was into Kiss, before he was in the band, already with Black and Blue and the convention time when he was a manager. I was very close to Tommy as well. I like them a lot. I love them. But you cannot replace the Puppets with
I love that.
Eric and Tommy. Come on, it's a joke. And I mean, you can do anything. Not expect that is a cool thing. They're there because of the four original, and they
Yeah.
all know. We all know they created the magic. If you gotta create a comic, a cartoon, at least, I know it's a lot. The problem there is not even. We all know, and they all know, is that they would be the best lineup for a cartoon. But the royalties, the permissions, all this makes it easier to have Eric and Tommy. But still, for us, for people who doesn't want to know too much about the behind the scene things, we just see,
The
this.
makeup,
This,
some
we
puppet
see
with the makeup.
cartoons
Yeah.
replacing Kiss
Yeah.
come on, it's not,
Yeah.
people knows what I'm talking about. There's not much to describe about it.
Yeah.
And I love Eric, I love Tommy, but it's not the way to portray the band for posterities.
Yeah.
It's a wrong thing. So, I mean, as I said, this would have been a bad news no matter what in any time of the day. But you put this at the end of the last show,
Yeah.
it becomes a terrible news, not
Yeah.
just a bad news.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we'll probably it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be cool. I like the idea of the avatar. No, don't get me wrong. If somebody say, "Let's go watch a Kiss movie," like they're gonna release probably this year the new movie, it's gonna be great to go see the movie. It will be great to go see the Avatar, but thinking that that is the way
Yeah,
that
their
the
wrong
band is going to
timing.
continue, the only way,
The wrong timing for the announcement. Yeah.
I love the show. I love when he mentioned that the parents were there when he was coming with a cab, taking people to see Elvis and he said that one day people will come to see me. All these memories that were specific for that he only say in New York and remembering those things, they were great things.
Yeah.
So it was a good show. I mean, I'm not saying that the show was bad. It's just that we were expecting a different show. We were not expecting a new, like continuation of the band with the cartoons.
Yeah, it was the last show, you know,
People
something
came to
special. Yeah.
people came with some expectation and didn't find what they expect.
Yeah.
That's a problem probably with the show. There was nothing wrong with the show. It's just that people didn't expect that show. Let's say it's a bit like The Elder. I love The Elder. It's a great album. But the fans were not expecting an album like The Elder at the time. And that's why the people got disappointed. Not because it was a bad album. It wasn't the album that people was waiting for.
Yeah, the
They were not
timing.
supposed
It's
to
all
do
about
that.
the timing. Timing.
Nico, actually, I want to go back a little bit, talk a little bit more about you and your accomplishments. because I know that you organize some KISS conventions, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure we all agree that, meeting fellow KISS fans, like, it's like the ultimate high. That's what it's about, that sense of community, that sense of family. Now, is that why you organize these KISS conventions? Tell us more about that.
Okay. Yes, I can say that I probably before even KISS conventions in 91, I think it was in Italy, I wanted to create something to get the KISS fan together, and I actually called them a KISS party. With KISS fans, we were basically everyone on his own in his room, and so giving the opportunity to be able to be in a pub, in a club, rock club usually, and share a beer with another friend who likes KISS, who can tell a story of what he saw, what he's got, that would have been a great thing. So that's I did at the beginning. I did that. Then he started the KISS conventions in America with the special guests, the merchandising. The American ones were mostly merchandise orientated, and basically the guests were just invited to get people coming so they could sell the merchandise. So that's a basic idea. The way I did it was more to have people together, like a bit like
Yeah,
you did the
and
Hard
fun
Rock Cafe
gathering.
thing
Yeah,
after
yeah.
New York. You did a great thing after the show. People like KISS share a beer together, share a story. That was a fantastic way. That's the best way. There was no merchandise there for sale.
Yeah.
It was just sharing a beer with a friend, talking about the shows. So that was the spirit that I had. Then obviously we got into this KISS convention, but to be honest, I never really organized a major convention. Gerhard Wimmer was the one. Gerhard was my director for Austria, and he had this idea of inviting KISS members, Peter, Ace, Vinny, and take him around the world, around Europe, with all local promoters, and I was the local Italian promoter for Milan, to have them as a guest. So it was more Gerhard Wimmer idea that did the conventions. I didn't have that much. I did this maybe in more in Melbourne when I was living there. I've been living almost 10 years in Melbourne, and when I was there, whenever I hear that there was maybe Bruce coming with his band, with Union, or for a guitar clinic, I used to go like, oh, if you're coming and you're already in the country, why don't we organize a convention? So then I would do them because they were there. It would have been very hard and expensive to fly somebody from the States to Australia or to Italy just for one-off thing. So that's why I never really organized them, because if you would fly them in, you have to organize many, and I never really want, organize that many things. So I participated to a lot, and I was a promoter and a few things, but it wasn't too much my thing, the KISS convention. I'm more, to be honest, I'm more into KISS parties like you did in New York, more like let's get together all the fans and spend some time together. In fact, I hope something like this will happen in Europe nowadays, once the band is not coming anymore, because we all have tons of friends around the world by now, and it's a pity not to see them anymore just because KISS is not touring. So
Yeah.
we'll find a way. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure one way or another. I got some ideas. Some others got some other ideas. Maybe not. I don't know if this year, because we're already fresh out of the traveling a lot, and so we don't miss each other too much because we see many friends often lately. But I'm sure from next year on, something will happen, at least in Europe. In America, I think they're still doing it normally. I think Keith has got one planned in Indianapolis for mid-year, but something I don't know. I just heard of it.
Nico, I want to ask you a question on now we're going to start slowly moving into your other passion, which is photography, and you have a business going on, so you're a professional photographer. So you had a big contribution with KISS on your photos. So what do you think were your biggest photo contributions to the band's history, and do you feel proud that they used some of your photos?
Well, photography has always been my big thing. Even when I start from collecting magazine articles in the very, very early days before Fan Club, what excited me the most is looking at their photos. I mean, at the time, there was no videotapes of KISS going around. You could hear some bootleg audio, but if you want to see their faces, it was only photos.
Yeah. True.
For many years, for probably 10 years since I started, it was only the great thing is looking at them in photos. So I don't know if I became a photographer because I love to see their photos or the other way around.
Okay.
But I'm sure photography has been always the great thing. I would look at a photo, a great photo, for ages. I would go through those magazines with KISS photos, images, and be fascinated by all the photography. So when I was able to be there with my own camera taking the photos, I tried to do the best photos I could, and I'm self-taught. I never took photography lessons, but my photography lessons were the KISS magazines or the KISS tour books. Because once you see an image and you think it's cool, well, when you see them there through the lens,
yeah,
you know what's the right pose,
right,
the right moment, because you've seen it a million times before at home. So, in fact, I must say that the very first show that I photographed is Ace Frehley in '88 in March, because I was front row. I didn't have photo pass, but I had a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And a professional camera, actually. Somebody taught me, put this and that and just shoot, whatever. A basic knowledge, not much. But I got some photos that even if I look at them now, I'm very proud of those pictures. I'm like, it's something that I would take even nowadays after mm-hmm. many years of
in the business,
of the photography
yeah.
career, even in a professional way. In fact, when I was at the show, for me, if somebody say, you want to photograph the show or you want to watch the show? I would say, no, give me the camera. I have more fun to...
Oh, yeah, taking pictures?
Yes, obviously, when you take photos, you're not the whole time with the lens in front of your face, especially at the time with the films that were expensive for my pockets at the time.
Right, right.
Maybe I could use two, three, four films in a concert. And so basically, you can understand you take photos, but you also watch the show. Actually, 80%, 90% is the show, but you also are able to freeze one cool moment that you see something cool happen on stage.
Right,
you got the
right.
camera. You can freeze it for yourself and for everybody else. Also because I was doing the magazine, the fanzine, and I know that the best thing were unreleased photos I never before seen. And so, as I was at the show, I could, have my stuff and stuff that nobody else would have seen. So many reasons why I took photos. Yeah.
So Nico, you mentioned earlier that you worked with the band and you met the band. Can you share with us a cool story having to do with any member of the band?
A funny story, maybe is in Melbourne with Eric. It was a funny one that he wanted to, during the show, in the encore, I was ready to take a photo with the bow, them coming out. And Eric, at one point in Melbourne, he came out with a bucket of water because he wanted to throw it over me. What a joke. What a joke.
I hope.
So then I saw him coming with this bucket of water aiming at me, coming towards me, and I realized that he was true on me. So then, at one point, I like, and everybody like Paul Gene, they were all looking like, oh, let's see how, because he probably preferred them. Oh, look, I'm gonna throw it on Nico. So then everybody was waiting for this moment, and I had my cameras on me, luckily. So then he was about to throw it, and I didn't have any chance to avoid it. But then I showed Eric, I showed him the camera, and I said, I got the camera. Wait until I drop the camera, then you can.
You can do what you
So then I took off the camera. I go back to the spot, and I went like open arms, like under him, making him relax on. He's not gonna go run anywhere. And then at the very moment he was about to throw it, I moved. So then everybody was laughing because he was so sure that he would get me, and he could have. I mean, he would have if I didn't come up with this camera trick.
Right,
But
exactly. You used it.
then, and that was just a funny thing of also the way that my things with Eric was. We were always joking and things, and having funny moments, and it's good. I like him. I like him as a character because he's got a lot of quick sense of humor, and sometimes dark, quick dark. But it's so funny, and I got similar, and so we get along together because he says one joke, I say another, and we have a good time together. But other stories, I don't know. Another time, Bruce and Eric in Birmingham, like I was, because as I said, I was always traveling cheap. I was sleeping in a friend's room, Barbara Caserta, you know her. She had a room with her boyfriend, I think. And I didn't have money, and I said, oh, can I sleep on the floor? And you're like, yeah, okay. And then the band heard that I was an extra person in the room that I wasn't supposed to be. So then Bruce got on the phone and fake his voice and says like, oh, we are at the reception here. We found out that you are sleeping in more people in the room than you're supposed to. Run down immediately. And we were all afraid. I didn't realize it was here. And once you get off the elevator with Barbara as well, because we saw Eric and Bruce
And Bruce
laugh.
laughing.
It's so funny because we were all afraid, like that I would have to figure out some other way to, find a
Oh, you
confession.
must have plenty of stories, man. I'm
Yeah,
absolutely so many years, man, with them close to the band. Hey,
but.
Nico, you mentioned before, photography and your passion, and basically you developed, such a passion, and now you're having a business with your wife, Ariana. So what can you tell about, your company? What can you tell about Report Ace? That's the name, right? Report Ace. So what can you,
Obviously,
of course. So what can you tell about your
his fans
company?
will know the ace in a report because reportage in Italy it's photojournalism. It's a reportage of something. And because nowadays likely people like spontaneous photos instead of the posed photos. So then I use the name the Aces of Reportage.
Okay,
That
got it.
that's why it came about. And because I shoot mostly, or I like mostly to shoot in photojournalism style, which is spontaneous. Basically, is what I used to do with KISS. I do it in normal photography. I mostly did weddings. Now I shoot all sorts of things.
So, Nico, talking to you in this episode, it's really clear that you've had a remarkable life. Do you believe that Kith had a contribution to the life that you've been living?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the contribution of KISS is that they were so great, so way better and above any other bands in all sorts of ways that they made me put all my efforts to spend as much time as I could in my life with them. So that's their contribution. Everything else has been my work. I mean, Eric also say, or everybody says, like, when you love what you do, you don't work one day in your life.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been to me. I never really worked. I was blessed that I could spend, since I was waking up until I would close my eyes for tiredness, I would be the whole day doing kiss things. For me, it was the best thing. I never had girlfriends when I was a teenager. You know, it's not, don't even want to waste time. I didn't do shopping or anything. I didn't, all my money, all my time was going on Kiss, just because it was the best thing I could do for what I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their contribution. I mean, they were so special that made me spend my whole life with them.
But it's you know, I think, you know, the band contributed, you know, as you were saying, Nico, to have a beautiful life, you know, as a Kiss fan, as a father, as a husband, you know, so many good memories. You know, it's been, I'm sure that one of the big contributions, it's also meeting so many fans from all over the world. So you're extremely well, you know, well known in the Kiss fandom. And I think that's, at the end of the day, when the band stops playing, they're not touring anymore, what's left, it's the friendships that you created, you know, mostly with fans from any country. As a closing remark, I have to say it's been a true pleasure, Nico, to spend time with you, you know, with all your stories and your approach to life, which is so so much fun. Thank you for your time, buddy. Thank you for your time. And I'm sure we can have another one or two or more, you know, rounds, because you have so many things to share with us and the audience that it's been a true pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you. I've been talking mostly about my life. We didn't talk much about Kiss, but it's okay.
That's what we're here for.
There's
that's
too
right.
many stories. I said you can stay here days and days. But you know,
true.
it's been a pleasure. It's always good to talk about them and what I did. Even myself, I look at what I did. I'm very surprised. I can't believe something. Now that I'm scanning all the stuff for the book that I'm doing, I'm realizing like. You know, how was I able to do all these things in
exactly.
such a short time? So
yeah.
Amazing life, a lot of work, a lot of passion. Kiss deserve this and more. They're the best, no matter what.
There you go.
What I love about episodes like this is that oftentimes our show is very North American centric. You know, we talk to fans in North America. It's fantastic to have an opportunity to talk to the international Kiss Army, the Kiss Army from around the world. It's great to have a different perspective. And it was amazing to have your perspective on your fandom and how Kiss has affected your life. And I think our fans, our listeners are really going to enjoy this episode. So once again, Nico, thank you so much for taking the time to come on our show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So to the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.